It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer.
Your boy Dan Wiederer was on the radio last week with Speaks.
Mm-hmm. Bears beat report and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
What's your sense for why it didn't click with Shane?
Probably too nice of a guy. OTAs, training camp. He kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable from the beginning.
So to that end, what is Thomas's presence mean?
Different personality. I think he's just more of a don't take type of guy.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod. Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
We look forward to it every week, our opportunity to talk with Dan Wiederer, and especially this week. The segment with Dan Wiederer is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. We are at the Broad Stop in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, we are.
It is the Spiegel at Home Show. I just ordered some cheese curds. I'm very excited to get those over here and enjoy that with a little bit of marinara on the side.
I got a garlic brat with sauerkraut, and no one should breathe my air anytime from this point forward.
All right, that sounds like a great way to bring in Wiederer. Weeds, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you. Fantastic question to Keenan Allen, and the reaction that you got from him I thought was incredible, that he was willing to be that honest. It seems like as bad as things seemed, they were even worse for players on that Bears offense.
Yeah, and I think it was just kind of cumulative frustration that built up that ultimately resulted in some struggles on the field, which then added to the frustrations, which then added to more struggles, and you just got that snowball rolling in the wrong direction. Clearly something had to change, Lawrence. They made the change on Monday, and now the big question is just how much of a significant difference can it make short-term? Like, we don't have time to look long-term right now as far as the Bears go, but in the short-term, you've got to figure out a way to be functional this week, the week after that, into Thanksgiving, and then maybe you could take a breath with that mini-bye after Thanksgiving and get yourself back on track.
Yeah, that was the quote of the year. I think David Hall was calling it your former podcast partner, but it kind of put a fine point on what had been hinted at for weeks and weeks and weeks. So now here we are. Were you surprised to learn that Thomas Brown and Caleb Williams have not had much one-on-one contact because he is the passing game coordinator? We've spent a few days trying to figure out what that role entails, what it means, and who you talk to in that role.
Yeah, well, so there's a difference between not having any exposure and not having a ton of one-on-one contact. And if you remember when we talked back in the spring and summer about the plan that the Bears had set up for Caleb Williams, they had a very well-intentioned plan to limit the voices that were in his head. And so it was going to be Shane Waldron and Kerry Joseph. Those were going to be his two direct points of contact, the two people he was going to get questions answered, to get feedback, to go back and forth, and just to try to limit the number of voices that were in his head. That relies on your offensive coordinator being able to last more than 9 football games. When that doesn't happen, now all of a sudden you've got to troubleshoot this thing to where now Thomas and Caleb have to form their own bond. They have to create their own rapport here very quickly and on the fly. It's not going to happen easily, but it can happen. And unfortunately, they just got themselves in a perfect storm of things here. It's not like Caleb's never met Thomas before. It's not like he hasn't listened to him in front of the room on Saturdays and in other meetings. They just haven't had a whole lot of one-on-one meeting time. And now that begins this week with a week where you got to go play the Green Bay Packers on Sunday in your building.
Dan, you wrote incredible stuff in the lead up to the season and the draft and everything about the plan to indoctrinate Caleb Williams into the NFL. And it has failed. It has completely and utterly failed. And we're in a fascinating spot in that way. My perception, I need to ask you if I'm just projecting, because my perception is that Thomas Brown, perhaps out of necessity, is going to take control of the offense back from the way it was completely handed to Caleb and failed. That maybe a coordinator and the other players on the offense will have a little more control as opposed to asking a rookie quarterback to control things. Am I projecting?
I don't know if you're projecting, but what I would say is the number one goal here in for everyone in the building is to find a way to make Caleb comfortable again. And so if that means kind of altering the things that you do, if it means leaning more heavily on the run game for a few weeks just to create or reduce the strain that's been on Caleb Williams in recent weeks, whatever you have to do to get him back in that flow is what you have to prioritize right now. And so we're going to have to kind of walk into Sunday knowing it's a mystery. And then we'll have, you know, one game's worth of snaps to take a look at. And then they'll play the Vikings. We'll have a really tough defense for them to try to figure out with Brian Flores leading that show. And then we'll have another game to dissect. It's going to take a little while to kind of feel what Thomas Brown's fingerprints on this offense are going to be and what they are doing to create some things for Caleb that gets him back in the headspace he needs to be at. This morning, it was the first time I got to do the full rewatch on the Bears offense again. I cannot describe how broken and defeated that entire offense looked against the Patriots. It was like almost staggering to watch that as an NFL football game against a defense that's not very good and see the number of things that were going wrong for the quarterback, for the receivers, for the offensive line, and just being like, man, this thing is headed in the wrong direction quick. And so whatever they can do to reverse that, that's what they've got to prioritize.
Dan, I think we all understand like the importance of the development of Caleb Williams. Like, that's a priority, as you just mentioned. With the other guys that are on the team, including a guy like Keenan Allen, who signed here mm-hmm. or was traded here with the idea of being that this was going to be competitive this season,
yep.
How do you expect the Bears will go about balancing that development with, hey, you know what, if we were able to win this game on Sunday, we can at least trick ourselves into thinking that we're in this race in the NFC. How do you balance that?
It's tricky. I mean, it really is tricky. And those dynamics from the get-go were always going to be a little bit complicated. Now, your hope was that you weren't going to get into the types of funks that they're in now, where you go three consecutive weeks without any semblance of offense, where you lose three consecutive games, and the weight of the world feels like it's on the shoulders of a 22-year-old kid who's got eight starts in the league and is still trying to figure out how to set his preparation routine every week. And so it's not easy, because you look, like, I remember talking to Cole back in the summer about how every sand, grain of sand in the hourglass that drops, he can feel it, you know, because you know your career is only so long, and you know you've only got your prime for 3 or 4 years, and you want to be successful at the highest level as soon as possible. And it's not really easy to be like, oh, well, we've just got a rookie quarterback and we're just going to have to live with the growing pains, because no, you know, 3 weeks ago, you were standing on a field in Washington with 26 seconds to go, and you're about to go to 5-2. And now you're like, oh, God, did another season of my professional livelihood just slip past me? And so those dynamics are real. They're really heavy. And you have to find ways to manage that. I don't know what the best answer to that is. I do know that Caleb's got to figure out a way to not feel all that weight. And that was my biggest worry about bringing Matt Eberflus back, is because as much as Ryan Pohl said that he expected Matt Eberflus to be here for the long haul, we knew there was going to be some win or else pressure on this thing. And now Caleb's got to feel that with every mistake he makes, with every loss they experience. That's a lot. That's a lot to take on when you're already taking on a lot. And, they believe heavily in how strong he is mentally, how strong he is in the growth process. But, man, like, you guys have felt it this week. Now imagine being Caleb Williams for the last 5 days.
It is the theory around the league of just how important it could be to have a successful quarterback on a rookie contract so pervasive that it's kind of made them a bit fungible in the mind of roster builders that, like, oh, well, let me just throw him in there. And if it doesn't work in 2 or 3 years, I'll be out of here anyway. And then I can go somewhere else and get another one or that kind of thing. Sort of like in baseball where they just go through pitchers because they know the arms are going to get defeated. It feels oddly acceptable from NFL front offices to figure out if a quarterback is any good right away or not, even though it doesn't work for the most part.
Help me through that one a little bit more so I can give you a better response. I'll do the Jalen Johnson thing on there. So you're asking what about the quarterback?
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to go too big picture on a theory here, Dan. It's just like I feel like Poles is wanting to find out right away if a guy can do everything because it's so advantageous to have a rookie quarterback who can do everything on his rookie deal, and it's kind of pervasive around the league. But maybe I've talked to myself.
He's got it.
I'll give him a second chance.
There's a lot there. And so it's really difficult because I think most people in the league would tell you that if you had the luxury of being able to sit a quarterback for a while and give him that redshirt time and be able to get him acclimated and see the game through the NFL lens and figure out what it looks like and what it has to be, you'd take that. But the only teams that are successful at doing that, you know, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers had a Hall of Famer that he could sit behind. The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes had an established veteran who was highly successful for a playoff team. The rest of this, it's just that there's so little time for everyone in this league, quarterbacks, general managers, head coaches, to prove that they are worth sticking with, that they have to show results. And so it's like the rush for results creates this dynamic that almost ends up being counterproductive in some ways. And so you've just got to find your formula. I think what it means for this Bears team right now, and Lawrence, I think you brought up a really good point, that if you could win a football game on Sunday, now you're 5-5, you get that great breath of fresh air that a victory brings you, and now you can kind of relax a little bit and say, okay, what do we need to do to continue progressing this season? With this team, I'm not so sure that a Kyle Orton-like approach isn't the best thing to do here. Run the football, lean on your defense, and then when you have 3 or 4 moments a game for the quarterback to be the difference maker, third down, red zone, you know, wherever those opportunities pop up, then make that difference, you know. But right now, they've kind of expected Caleb to do more than he was ready to do. He struggled with that. The failures have compounded, and now all of a sudden you're kind of in the control-alt-delete mode at a point where you did not want to be in the control-alt-delete mode.
Dan Wiederer joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. How hard of a decision was this for Matt Eberflus?
I think it was difficult for him, and I think that if it were left solely up to him without a whole lot of outside counsel, that he probably would have kept Shane Waldron around and maybe tried some other adjustments first before going to the the decision that he made on Tuesday, which was to let Shane go and part ways entirely. That's just life in the NFL, though. You know, I mean, like, you guys know that it wasn't just the outside world's frustration that was mushrooming. It was the players inside that locker room. You felt it for a period of weeks growing and growing and growing. We talk every Friday about what we've heard in the locker room, what we've heard after games, and it's like, uh-oh, this is worrisome. Uh-oh, this is more worrisome. Uh-oh, this is even more worrisome than it was last week. And when that stuff starts to build, you have to provide answers for your players. And I think in some ways that was here. Now, look, like, there was a lot of talk this week about how different the energy is with Thomas Brown in front of the room. Not a surprise. Their personalities are complete opposites when it comes to Thomas Brown and Shane Waldron. And I thought Mark Potash asked Cole Kmet a good question in the middle of the week about, like, okay, so how does energy and charisma translate into first downs? You know, great question. And Cole said, you know, it's about the buy-in in the game plan. You know, and so that's where Thomas Brown's presence matters. If you've got belief from the guys, well, now all of a sudden you get a little bit of forward momentum going into the game, where I think they were kind of backsliding with that momentum, where it was, even if Shane had a good plan, guys weren't buying it. And so all of a sudden you've got that doubt creeping in, and the first 3-and-out you have, and the first, you know, quarter you go scoreless, and now all of a sudden you just feel like it's stacked against you, and they weren't able to recover the last 3 weeks. And so something had to change.
Yeah, man, I'm so interested to see how this thing looks on offense on Sunday. Dan, who are the starting guards, and is Doug Kramer the backup guard? What is the state of depth there on the offensive line?
Ryan Bates will be your next man up for the Tevin Jenkins spot. this week. So that's a start for Ryan Bates. And then Matt Pryor will stay in over at right guard. You get your two tackles back. You got to hope that that provides some stability. You got to hope that that continuity is there. I told you about rewatching the game this morning. There were some moments last week where the Bears had seven-man protections against four-man rushes and still got whipped. You know, and like you look at that and Caleb's getting to the top of his drop and the receivers aren't out of their breaks yet and he's already engulfed. And you're like, well, how is that ever going to work? If you've got seven guys in and you can't block four, you're dead. You know, and that was part of what last week was, is there were too many moments where no matter what the plan was, no matter what play was called, they were just doomed. And I don't know why those errors were occurring, but hopefully a little bit of a reinforced offensive line this week changes things a little bit. And then you want to get Caleb just feeling like he can keep his eyes where they're supposed to be rather than feeling some of that pressure that's been leaking through the last couple weeks.
Is Doug Kramer any good at guard as part of his roster presence?
He had a rough day.
He had a rough day, man. So as part of his roster presence, a function of the mini fridge stuff, and now that Waldron is gone, is that affected?
Well, right now you just don't have a lot of depth there to pivot in a different direction. You know, Doug Kramer was supposed to be a guy that could give you some snaps as a center more than a guard. You know, that was kind of where he was going to help you due to their original plans. And obviously the original plans of this building have been blown up mightily from what they were in April to what they are now. And it's alarming, you know, and I said it earlier in the week that as much as Ryan talked about how much he believed in the talent and depth of this offensive line, he walked into the regular season with two starting guards that the whole league knew were unreliable. You know, you had a guy who's always hurt. By the way, he's going to miss another game this weekend, and it'll be the 21st missed game for Tevin Jenkins in his four-year career. And then you had the other guy, Nate Davis, who came with a reputation as not really loving the sport or the investment it takes to be good at it. And so if you were believing in that, you kind of took a leap of faith that led you off the edge of the cliff, and now you're just trying to troubleshoot and get yourself back on track. And those are a couple massive missteps by the general manager, without question. And now you've got to figure out again with chicken wire and bubble gum how to fix it together here for a few weeks just to get yourself back on track. And then again, leave Detroit, take a little break on that mini bye weekend and find some answers that can help you down the stretch.
Well, here's hoping that Thomas Brown is MacGyver for sure. So look, Caleb Williams is very mature. He comes across as very mature. He is also very polished in the way that he deals with the media publicly. So I know that I'm asking you a pretty difficult question here. Was there any difference that you detected in his mood or his approach to dealing with you guys, considering that, I mean, you were saying, like, look, he's got a lot of pressure on him. This is the first time that a coach being fired is connected to him.
Right.
How did he handle it this week?
So full disclosure, I was not in the room with him when he spoke because I was back in the locker room talking to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Mercedes Lewis and guys back there on Wednesday. So I had to watch that back on video, so I didn't have the presence to be able to diagnose that up close. I've interacted a couple times with Caleb in the locker room the last couple days. He seems to be the same guy he's been all season, but you bring up a great point. Like, Caleb's 23rd birthday is coming Monday. You know, this is still a really young dude with a lot of people's hopes and expectations on him. He's a guy who is deeply driven to succeed and cares about succeeding. And so when things go as wrong as they've gone the last few weeks, there are very few humans that are strong enough to handle that to the highest level, right? And so I guarantee you things that we're not seeing from Caleb are weighing on him when he's at home or when he's trying to work through a game plan. We'll see how he handles the game on Sunday, Lawrence, because I think that's the best way to respond is to go out and show your teammates and your coaches that you can master the game plan. That's been a really hot catchphrase around here this week. Do the things that have been asked about you, create forward momentum, have some success, and then hopefully you're in a football game in the fourth quarter and you can try to steal a win.
60 seconds, Dan. What's Matt Eberflus's plan to stop this Packers offense and that running game without Andrew Billings?
Yeah, you know, Eric Washington talked really, really highly about Josh Jacobs and the way he's playing right now. I think you have to rely on Jordan Love giving you a few opportunities to take the ball from him. He's done it in every single game this year. He's had an interception. You've got to take advantage of those opportunities. We cannot be here on Monday talking about dropped interceptions or plays that the Bears could have made to swing this game defensively. Their defense is going to have to find ways to make Jordan Love uncomfortable, and then you're going to have to do some of that complimentary football. If your special teams get you a 38-yard return, score off it. If your defense gets you a takeaway, score off it. The Bears failed in that regard against the Patriots, and it came back to haunt them in a huge, huge way with a lot of ramifications.
Weeds, thank you as always. Excellent, excellent stuff. That is Dan Weederer, who works for the Tribune. He also does the Take the North podcast. You can hear him every week with us on Spiegel and Holmes. We need to take a break. Why? Because we can talk with Brian Bulaga.
That is an Illinois man and a former Packer who knows this week from many different angles, sir.
So we can ask him about the week and we can ask him about the Pack. We will do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, back here at Lambeau for a week 15, and come on, of course it's cold. That's how we do it for Packers and Bears. 18 degrees, but good news, Charles, it only feels like it's 13. And Matt Nagy doesn't care. He's still got the visor on. I don't know what good that does him today, but he's a tougher man than me in his second year as head coach. He's got these Bears playing well back in the playoff hunt. They've won three in a row. Matt LaFleur, in his first year as Packers coach, all he's done is, look, he's got them 10 wins, and they are on the precipice of getting back in the playoffs. He's done a wonderful job. They're going to run it. Williams has it, and then some. Shoulder down, out to the 40 for big old Jamal Williams, and it moves the chains for Green Bay.
And notice Green Bay ended up bringing in Mercedes Lewis, number 89 at tight end. They bring in Alan Lazard as a wing guy. And a nice double team right here, right there with number 77, Billy Turner, and number 75, Brian Bulaga. And that allowed number 30, Jamal Williams, to get his shoulders square and pick up the first down.
The Bears made it interesting, but the Packers will hang on and win it here at Lambeau.
We're back live from Kenosha, Wisconsin, at the world-famous Brat Stop with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We are here at the Brat Stop, and this has been amazing. I got the cheese curds during the break, and they are they're as good as advertised.
Yeah, I downed about two-thirds of a garlic brat with sauerkraut during the break.
Are going to be pleasant to go home with.
Yeah, I promise not to belch in your general direction, Lawrence.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. That highlight that you heard right there was from the last Bears-Packers game that our next guest, Brian Bulaga, played in. That game in 2019, December 15th at Lambeau Field. Shocker. The Packers won that game.
I am shocked.
Just to reset the storyline, 10-0 in their last 10, 25-5 in their last 30. And Brian Bulaga, as we welcome you to Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score, 50-15 since Brett Favre's debut for the Green Bay Packers. So I don't know why we're talking to you, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
How you guys doing? Appreciate you having me on. It's always good to be back with you. And, you know, you're in the great state of Wisconsin, so that's even better. I think it's fair to say it's been a little one-sided as of late. Obviously, the last 65 games, so to speak, it sounds like. So I guess.
Thanks for noticing, know. Brian.
But, you know, it's unfortunate because when I first got into the league, the Bears were a really good football team under Lovie Smith. We played them in an NFC championship game, and they were a really well-respected team with a lot of really good veteran football players. And when Lovie left, things changed there, and we've kind of seen where the Bears have gone since Lovie left. And, you know, here we are in 2024, and it feel like we're kind of on repeat every year with the Bears.
It does feel that way. And, Brian, I'm just curious because, look, we had local product and former Packer, our guy Matt Bowen. He's on the show with us like every couple of weeks. And he was talking about the rivalry, and he was talking about being a Packer and what that's like. And even still, after a few years in Green Bay, he still ended the segment with Go Bears because he grew up in the burbs of Chicago. Did you have to deal with any of that as a player? Like, as a player, was there any part of you that maybe when the Bears and the Packers play, but when the Bears were playing, like, you found yourself still rooting for the Bears?
You know, no, I mean, I was never a Bears fan growing up. So that was always the thing that my dad hated the Bears once they fired Ditka. So when I was growing up, we never watched Bears games and cheered them on. Right. He would watch Bears and cheer against them ever since Ditka was fired. So we were in a Bears household. I really liked watching the 49ers, and my brother watched the Cowboys of the 90s, so we watched those two teams growing up. So I didn't really, that I went to Green Bay, and I obviously know the rivalry. I mean, I, you know, grew up in the area. I understand how much the fan bases like to get after each other a little bit, and I understand, you know, the history of it. But once I got drafted by Green Bay, I didn't think much of it just because I was from there, right? Like, I understood it a little bit more. My first time in Chicago, and I stepped on the field, and I heard quite a few, you know, nice remarks from Bears fans. Got called a traitor with a couple nice words in front of it a few times, and I think it might have been the same couple guys that said the same thing to me every year when I went back. I think I was just waiting for it every year. The same couple guys, because we warmed up in the same spot every year in the end zone, so I was just waiting for them every year. But I never, you know, I mostly feel bad for my buddies that are the Bears fans, right? Like, I feel bad for them because they start out so optimistic. And you know what? Like, this year, I was actually very optimistic for them, right? Like, I thought this was going to be a very good year for Chicago. I thought got a lot of weapons offensively. I thought the defense was still going to be good. And things have just kind of gone the wrong way. And, you know, yeah, of course they could turn it around and they could rattle off, you know, five or six in a row. There's always that possibility. But I think what you guys have watched and what I think the rest of, you know, the country's watches, that's not the way it's trending.
He is Brian Bulaga, who played for, what, a decade for the Packers. But I'm fascinated now by young Brian playing peewee football in Crystal Lake and eventually at Marion Catholic in Woodstock as in a house where your dad said, screw the Bears after they got rid of Ditka. I wonder if there is a bigger batch of non-Bears fans than we realize whose parents turned their back on the franchise when they got rid of that man and that personality. That do you know of others who were raised like you, Brian, with angry parents upset at Ditka's removal?
You know, I grew up with a lot of family. Like, I grew up with one of my best friends, his family, they were from Illinois. They were all Packers fans. And I grew up with another family. They were from Illinois, and they were, like, big Vikings fan. So, like, it was really weird, the dynamic of, like, the people that we hung around with. Obviously, I knew tons of Bears fans. I mean, my grandpa on my mom's side, diehard Bears fan. He liked every Chicago. It didn't matter how good they were, how bad they were. He thought they were the greatest. I think he cheered against me even when I was playing in Green Bay. I think he cheered against me. but that's the flip side of that story. So, like, you know, I mean, it went both ways with my family, right? We had Bears fans. I mean, my dad's side and my mom's side, and obviously both from Chicago. My dad's from the south side. My mom's from the north side. So both, you know, diehard Chicago fans with through and through. So I had, you know, it took some time to get the family to, you know, cheer for the Packers when they weren't playing the Bears. We'll just say that.
You know, there's a theory, Brian, that the Bears ownership has been afraid to hire like a big personality that they're intimidated by since Ditka. That, like, they keep hiring as coaches. I mean, Lovie Smith was a very strong, solid, powerful man. But but really, every other coach, and certainly the one now, feels like somebody they can push around. I wonder if your dad had that theory on the Bears ownership.
Well, I mean, you guys should call him and have him on. You'd love to have him on for 20 minutes. He'd give you,
Hey, Brian, for real, tell your dad if he ever wants to call us, we would love to take his phone call.
That'd
like
be a
real
fascinating
talk.
Conversation.
Yeah.
I agree,
okay. Real talk.
I will literally text him and let him know that because he would love it. you know, the thing that about, obviously, this goes back before I even knew what football was when Ditka got fired. But once I was in the NFL and Lovey, who he was as a coach, like, you knew the identity of the football team, right? Like, you knew exactly who they were, what they were about, defensively, offensively. They were always going to be good on special teams. And you knew they were going to play hard. They were going to hit you in the face for four quarters, no matter how the game was going to go. And you knew it was going to be a battle. And the minute he left, the culture completely changed in there. And you saw some of those stalwart veterans, you know, the Briggs, the Urlachers, and guys like that, and Tillmans, they all slowly started to leave, and the culture just completely flipped, right? And with that, the quarterback changes, the coaching changes every couple of years, and that's kind of where we land, right? Like, and I don't know I don't know the history of who the Bears hire. I mean, maybe was Wanstead not a, I mean, he was he not a big personality? I don't know. Like, you know, it seemed like he on TV seems like a big personality, but I don't know how he was in general. Right. I wasn't really paying attention when back in the 90s when he was coaching.
Yeah, maybe big personality is wrong. I think of ass kicker. You know?
Yeah, and then Dave's probably that too. But that's something that we can discuss at another point.
With Mr. Belaga.
Brian, what do you think of this version of the Packers?
Yeah, good question. I think they're a good team. I think they got a lot of good football players. I think in the first half, these first nine games, I think the one critique I have on them is I think they've struggled a little bit to find their identity as not as a team, but especially on offense. I think they've struggled a little bit. I mean, you know, obviously they give Jordan Love all that money, and this thing is a quarterback-driven league, and we understand that. But then in the offseason, they bring in a really high-priced, big workhorse back in Jacobs. So, like, what do you want the identity of this offense to be, right? And I think that's a little bit of a power struggle, but it's a little bit of a back and forth, right? Like, who is going to be the focal point of this thing? It's always going to trend towards the quarterback, but when you've got a running back like that, and an offensive line that's able to, you know, block up the run really good like this group is, you got to use it. And I think as we start to get into the winter months and playoff football, I think Jacobs is going to become a huge part. I really think this is going to be a Jacobs-centric offense. And with that, Jordan Love is going to, you know, just succeed greatly because the play-action game is going to come alive. And I think that's kind of what, you know, Packer fans are hoping to see from what, you know, last year showed when they got it going with Aaron Jones late in the year to kind of what we've seen this year.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Can we, in a few weeks when the two teams play again, can we get you on with your dad?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can do that. We can figure that out. We can set that up.
All right. I like that, man. This was delightful. Thank you so much for joining
us. And, Brian, if there's any other issues from your childhood that you'd like to work out that day on the phone, you know, we can do that as well. All right?
Hey, my childhood was, it was fantastic. No issues between my dad and I. Believe me, those got settled a long time ago. We'll just put it that way.
Look at you being a healthy adult. I love that, Brian. That's good stuff.
We will waive the copay then.
Yes.
There's no need to charge you for that.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Thanks a lot, Brian. We'll talk soon. That is Brian Bulaga. That was delightful, man.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, am I off? His voice cousin is Seth Rogen.
No, you're not off at all, man. It was money. I mean, I would totally buy weed from Brian Bulaga, is all I'm saying. Well, if he told me he was Seth Rogen.
Well,
although we don't have to do that anymore.
Well, you do here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it in Wisconsin.
You got to go about 20 miles that way if you want to get your weed legal.
That's right. You come up here for Spotted Cow. You go down there.
Yes.
For the other stuff.
That's what you do.
That's how that works.
That's how it's working.
Texter says, when Ditka got fired, my dad gave up season tickets and said, F them. There's another one. Here's another one. I said peace out after Chris Conti.
Well, Brian Bulaga would know all about that, too.
Oh, God. Yeah, he would.
Okay, so we have an African Jew wearing a hoodie.
I mean, that's this show right now.
Yes. Wait, you're not Jewish?
I know, but you're a Jew, I'm an African, and we both have hoodies.
African and a Jew. We do. It's true.
See? Anyway, it all works.
That's the name of the show.
Look to the cookie, Speaks. Look
no, what's to our, the cookie. What's our show name with the middle names?
Mine's Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell and Herman.
And Wendell gets to go first because it's the middle names?
Yes, it's exactly right.
And so he cares.
Yeah.
Holmes doesn't care.
Uh-huh.
Wendell, that guy, his ego is huge.
It's enormous.
He
right.
has to go first.
That's right. That's
that
right.
actually means something or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Wendell and Herman, but Herman drives.
Right.
Herman drives
But Wendell's show. Name is first.
Whatever Wendell needs.
Because
okay?
he is.
I don't want to anger Wendell.
That guy. Oh, my goodness.
He's feisty.
He is a problem. That is for sure. For those Bears fans that need a benediction, you know, like yeah. For those Bears fans that just need something to make them feel good, you will want to listen to our next segment.
Yes, you will.
Because we've got a buddy that's going to help you along with that cause. That is next. Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
I remember Doug Buffon, and I would step on him any chance I got.
If you really think about this, very difficult to score when your offense is on the bench. When your defense is out there giving up 70, 80, 70, 64-yard drives. You tell me what's going on out there when the team can take a football and drive it down your damn throat. At least hold them to a field goal. This defense sucks. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I've had it. I have had it. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game and play it right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. And that's what I want to see. Not today. Not like this what happened today. This defense sucks. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
We're back live from Kenosha, Wisconsin at the world-famous Brat Stop with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
This has already been epic being here and seeing one of the Score listeners actually wearing a Doug Buffon jersey.
Yes.
I mean, how can we not want to summon Doug? And by the way, we are brought here by Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha. Love them. Hey, what's up? Oh, what's up? Okay. All right. So we got them. The guys are here.
That's outstanding.
That's beautiful.
I bet they rode over in a Subaru, just guessing.
I bet they did, too.
Uh-huh.
And that's a fine automobile, and they do a great job of selling them. And if you are looking for a Subaru, you should check them out at Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha. We thank you very much for being a part of this broadcast today.
I was told, Lawrence, that last Sunday, as the Bears were embarrassing themselves against the Patriots at Soldier Field, the Thunder above was Doug Buffon clearing his throat. And now we can give the floor to our friend afterlife, Doug Buffon, who joins us on 670 The Score. Doug, I can't imagine that you were too pleased to see that effort of the beloved.
I am hot.
I am hot right now, Speaks. Lawrence, how are you? Good to see you, my friend. We are live from 6 Heavenly at 6 Heavenly, the score.com, 312-644-6767. This Bears postgame show is brought to you by the Brat Stop. You can't be a brat with a brat in your mouth. And Ziegler Subaru, if you think about your family, think about a Subaru. That's right, you guys caught me in the middle of a dice game between me, Paul Lynde, and Frank Sinatra. Frank's cleaning house, so I was happy to step away. Are you as mad as I am? I'm pissed off.
Yeah, we've been mad. We've been mad, but nobody is as mad as you. That's your calling card, Doug.
They got rid of Shane. He's gone?
Yeah.
About time. Get rid of Shane with the little kid at the end of the Western movie waving, bye-bye, Shane. Don't come back. And I don't want to see you again. Let's go to Lenny and Homer Glenn. Lenny, you're on 6 Heavenly at 6 Heavenly, the score.
We don't have any calls.
No, Lenny's not there, Doug.
Okay.
But we do have a man here who is wearing your jersey. I felt like it was an omen for us to reach out to you, especially considering what you would always call Packer Panic Week this week.
This is it. We're in it right now, and I'm scared for my life. First of all, salutations and congratulations, kiss on two cheeks for the guy who wants to wear my jersey, all right? I wore that thing from 66 to 79, and I played more games when I left than anybody, and I'm looking at a team out here with people who don't want to play. They don't want to play, OB, and I've had it. I'm sick of it. I look at that line out there, 9 sacks. 9 sacks. I haven't seen 9 sacks since I was in the East Bank Club locker room in 1994. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you, I learned 2 things that day. If you're around 9 sacks, you either better be into it or go to another room. But Tom Skilling is a full all caps man. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, the mind reels.
9 sacks. Yeah. That line had no push, none, zero, nada, zilch. Stop yourself if you're out there. Every one of those guys should take their paycheck and sign that over to the Chicago Food Bank and do something that actually makes a difference in Chicago. Going out there, 9 sacks. What are you, the cupboard under the sink? 9 sacks. We got tricks.
Doug.
Hold on, let's go to Charlene and Niles. Charlene! Charlene's in Niles.
No, she's not there.
She hung up.
She's not there.
All right. Charlene, call back in. You sound like you have a nice voice. Call back in.
What would it mean if the Bears were able to win this game on Sunday?
Oh, my God. Well, okay. Have you put on your winter coat yet? Have you put on your winter coat?
Not yet, Doug.
No,
not
right?
yet.
But you know what? You know, twice a year, you go, you put on your winter coat, and you reach in, and you go, what I got in here? What I do last time I wore this 7 months ago? And you find a $100 bill, and it doesn't even have your name on it, and it didn't belong to you, but it's yours now. That's what it'll be if the Bears go out there and decide they don't know how to win a game. Now, is there a $100 bill in your coat, Stiggs? No. Lawrence, you got a $100 bill in your coat? I don't have one either. Okay? I don't have one either. And the Bears aren't going to find one. But if they do, that's found money. And you don't tell anybody you got it. That's yours. That's yours.
How would you go about game planning against the Packers? How should they try and beat this team? Finally, it's been five years, Doug.
Let me ask you guys a question first, because I'm up here. I'm far away. Maybe I'm out of it. What major crime did Cole commit witness? Because he's in witness protection, all right? They sent him. He's gone. And we might as well drag Mike Martz out there. We're going to go 2 games without a touchdown in a row. What is this, 2004? Are you giving me Columbo? Give me Olin Krutz. Line him back up. 47, 46 years old. I'll take it. I'll lace him. You know, they buried me with my cleats in case I needed to lace them up again, and I'll do it.
Mark
the one
Columbo?
Thing you got to do, well, really the one thing Mark you got to do, yeah. You got to get a push. Give me Michael Haynes. I don't care.
Doug, that's going too
that
far.
That is too far.
He had too many pets.
Take it from somebody who knows. You can't throw the football when you're 6 feet underground. You can't hit a bull's ass with the side of a barn. I'll go big enough and they'll still miss.
I don't think that's how that one goes. But
why are we even putting, let me ask you guys, why are we even putting Caleb out there with 2 minutes to go? I'm going to tell you a quick story. 1994, I'm standing outside of the Berghoff room with Gary Fencek, okay? I'm standing outside of the Berghoff with Gary Fencek, and I'm talking to a Continental flight attendant that I've spent 3 hours talking to. It's 2 a.m., and nothing's worked. You know what you do? You go home. It's over. You got 2 minutes left in a game with something out of reach, and you're trotting a toddler out there asking him to tie his own shoes, and it ain't going to happen.
Thank you, Doug. It's so good to see you. So good to hear from you.
Hey, just so you know, aliens are real. Aliens are real. They said it. If aliens are real this week, maybe the Bears can get it done. Maybe.
Thanks, Uncle Fuzzy.
Uncle Fuzzy.
I miss you both. Be good. Yeah. You're good men.
Love you. Oh, he's the best.
People enjoy that.
That's Afterlife Doug. His good friend Daniel Van Kirk is a brilliant stand-up comic, and we appreciate his existence on this show. Afterlife Doug sent a Crown and Coke over to the man wearing his jersey
Broadstop. And that's great. And Afterlife Doug mentioned Olin Krutz.
Yes,
he did. We are going to talk to Olin Krutz.
Bam!
Next on The Score.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.